Enter. Mr. Whitfield. Ah, oh, I'm heartily glad to be home.
Mr. Wesley, my dear, dear friend.
So, what news? What news from the new world?
The great awakening continues apace in the Americas, and on these shores too. In Cambuslang, just these last 3 months, the Lord begged me speak to souls 30,000 in number.
I have heard this, and this is great news.
And you, sir, how do you do?
Well,
I trust I'm not disturbing you from your work.
Oh, yeah, as you see, I am discovered. Please, please, come, sit.
I was at my journal, and after the event, I confess.
Well then, read to me. Where has the Lord's work taken you?
To our new room in Sheffield. Alas, a mob descended upon us.
Not for the first, nor, I fear, the last.
Where are we? Oh, yes. Hell from beneath was moved to oppose us. As soon as I was in the desk, the flood began to lift up their voice, and an officer of the king contradicted and blasphemed. I took no notice and sang on. The stones flew thick. So, to save them and the house, I gave notice I should preach out.
So, preacher man! Preacher man! Seems the people have no welcome for you!
Aye,
and in the absence of a magistrate, I know how to deal with a traitor like you,
Eddie,
who hides their treachery under the guise of religion!
I am no traitor! Won't you join me now as I offer up a prayer for His Majesty King George and preach for you the gospel? Lord, spare these sinners as servants of their master, the devil. They know not what
you
they
do. You scoundrel! By the King Monmouth, I shall run you through!
And as I see you here, I trust the Lord saw fit to spare you.
Forced his way through and presented his sword to my breast. But my breast was more truly steeled, and I threw it open to him. Fixing mine eye on his, I smiled in his face and said, I fear God and honour the king.
And what next?
Well, his face fell in an instant, put up his sword and quietly slipped away, he did. I say to you, had I only his principles, well, then I might indeed have fainted away.
The Lord God wants you with him, I know, but have a care, sir. You have responsibilities beyond your brother's driving.
Oh, sir, let us not tear up again.
You are more than he to me. It was your gentle stewardship and kindness at Oxford that gave me the confidence to embrace God's everlasting love. Your brother and I, we dance about, but then I see you, and truly, I see a man made for friendship.
Oh, bless you, George, dear friend. You know, you mentioned John. Let me see. I was meditating in prayer this last day, and I recalled. Here it is. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Are we not that cord, entwined not only by true thought and honest deed, but by prevenient grace?
I say to you, Charles, your brother's ambition is well served by your turn of phrase, as are we all by your hymns. I leave you to your writing and pray the Lord continues to bestow upon you the grace to capture all our hearts.
And you, sir, may you continue to awaken the souls of every man and woman who hear you.
With God's power. Farewell for now.
Farewell indeed, my fellow labourer in the gospel.